Stephanie, it's my pleasure to have on the phone line this morning. With me is Lieutenant Governor Tim Griffin. And, Your Honor, good morning. How are you?
Please don't call me Your Honor.
You know, I looked it up in the book, and it said, call the Lieutenant Governor Your Honor. Did you know that?
No, you called this Lieutenant Governor Tim.
That's exactly.
Or lots worse stuff. You know, I got three young kids. And if I told them you were calling me Your Honor, they'd be like, well, you're the same one that changes Charlotte Ann's diapers. So I don't see how you're Your Honor.
You know, I knew I was going to get that answer. I knew you were going to say that.
It gives me something fun to talk about. But anyway, go ahead.
You're on Bomber Boulevard this morning.
Yes, I am. COVID has changed a lot of stuff. And the Veterans Day event that is normally held in November is one that I've been to before, and it got postponed. And we're here in the middle of the legislative session, but they wanted to have it. And I'm a vet. In fact, I'm still in the reserve at Fort Bragg, North Carolina, as a commander now. And when they said, "Hey, you want to reschedule?" and I said, "Absolutely." So this is the November veteran event that we didn't get to have, and COVID's still here, but they're adapting. You know, they're doing. They're using some webcasts and some video feeds and other rooms and stuff like that. So we're gonna have it. We're gonna have it. So I'm excited to be here.
You know, you mentioned that. Of course, we all know the legislature's in session. What about the Arkansas panel on Tuesday rejected legislation that would have eased the state's restrictions on the use of deadly force and self-defense. How do you stand on that?
Yeah, look, I support the Stand Your Ground legislation. I think there's a lot of stuff that's said in these political fights that are not exactly accurate. There are a lot of states that have this. This is not the source of violence in society, the Stand Your Ground laws. This is simply shifting the balance a little more to the law-abiding citizen away from those that might want to do me or you harm. It's that clear. You know, around your home, in your home, you don't have the right, the duty to retreat. And all this is saying is, you know, if you're outside that protected zone and you're somewhere legally, you don't have to worry about trying to run away and make a judgment call on that. You know, you can defend yourself and not worry about an obligation to run and hide behind a whatever. And, you know, look, I just think it's I think what people do is they look for the most controversial case in the country or cases in the country, several of which I've seen cited really have nothing to do with Stand Your Ground. And they say, this is going to be coming to a place near you. Well, look, I live in Little Rock, and we have a lot of violent crime, and we have a lot of murders. And I can tell you, they have nothing to do with this sort of issue. As a general rule, they have to do with drug-related violence, battling in drug wars, and other things like that. So let's be honest about this whole deal. So I'm supporting it. I don't know what will happen with it. I think ultimately it may pass. And if it passes, the governor hasn't indicated what he'll do, but I got to believe that that he would sign it. But I think ultimately it's fine.
Yeah. How about any and all tax-related issues?
I believe state government taxes too much and spends too much. And I do not favor one iota increase in taxes at the state level. As long as I know that the money we give to the government is not 100%, is not spent 100% wisely, and no one can tell you it is. Look, if someone mismanaged your money, you wouldn't keep giving them money just willy-nilly. You know, you'd say, wait a minute, get your act together. You know, look, we have had some good changes in the tax laws in terms of reducing the income tax over in the previous 6 years or so. But let's be real honest. A lot of taxes have been raised as well. So we're sort of giving people money in the front right pocket and taking it out of the back left. Well, at the end of the day, that doesn't really help much. Yeah. If I put 100 in your front pocket and take 100 out of your back pocket, are you any better off? The answer is no. So I don't support any sort of tax increase. What I support is doing more with less, spending taxpayer dollars more wisely. I don't have a lot of purview in the lieutenant governor's office. I don't control state government. You know, I'm elected separately from the governor. But I believe in setting an example. So the first thing I did when I became lieutenant governor is I cut the traditional staff of five. I cut it down to two. And I've kept it there my whole 6 years, not budged a bit, even though it'd be easier at times. And I believe we're doing more with less. Less people, more work. Well, how do you do that? Yeah. Work is smarter. That's how. And I'll have to point out, I cut my budget my first year about 15-16%. I proposed that. It was accepted. And it's never been raised a penny. And we've been still giving back money every year. How? Doing more with less. That's what I want to see government do, just like everybody else has to do, just like my family has to do, your family, your company, whatever. So, yeah.
I know you're on.
And by the way, I've proposed eliminating the income tax.
There you go.
And that is a first step toward beating other states. We can't do it overnight, but we wouldn't raise other taxes to do it. Let's be real clear. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about growing the economy, controlling spending, and over the coming years, using surpluses in state government, not to spend them, to buy down the tax code so that we get down ultimately to zero. We got to do that.
I know you're on a tight schedule. I've got one more quick question for you. I'm a strong supporter of education. What are some of the education issues?
Well, I'll tell you, I am a huge believer in freedom for parents in education, in letting parents decide how they want to educate their kids, where they want to educate their kids. You can call it choice. I call it freedom. Call it either way. The bottom line is government does not know better than parents. And I believe we've made some progress over the years, a little bit on giving parents more control over where their kids are educated and how they're educated, but we got a long way to go. We're still probably 20 years behind some other states that have been highly successful in this area, like Florida. We got to do more there. Look, I'm for merit pay for teachers. I think we need to reward teachers, pay them more, particularly the ones that are just day in, day out of getting it done. But I'm for merit. Merit, not union-driven, everybody gets the same. I'm for rewarding excellence. The other thing I'll tell you, we got a huge problem, and this is the problem that drives the prisons, it drives alcohol abuse, it drives all sorts of things, and that's illiteracy. That is illiteracy. We have an emergency in this state. Some school districts, 40, 50, 60% don't read at grade level. That's right. Don't read at grade level. And we just keep shuffling people through the system because we don't want to embarrass them or whatever. Let me tell you, we're not doing them any favors when they get out of school and they're not where they ought to be and they can't read. And it's happening in our state. And though the statistics show those young people who cannot read are more likely to go down the wrong path, be unemployed, go to prison, be involved with domestic violence, get involved with drugs. all the things we want to avoid, we don't make sure they're reading at grade level or reading, then they're more likely to end up there. So, look, I'm for saying by fourth grade, kids have to be. A lot of states have done, didn't some big deal. Oh, my gosh, no one's ever done that. Yeah, this is done all over the country in a lot of different areas. If you're not reading at grade level by fourth grade, for example, that's the grade that's used a lot, then you're not moving forward until we get you the special assistance, whether it be putting you in a private school like the Hanna School in Little Rock to deal with dyslexia or whatever. No excuses. No excuses. We find you the help you need, whether it be in the school where you are, which probably isn't if they hadn't been getting it done, or some other school, private, whatever, public, charter, whatever. Let's get you help. When a patient is ill, the key is to get them well. You don't debate where because of turf wars or whatever. You just want to get them well. Well, that's the way we ought to feel about our kids. If we're putting kids first, then get them the help they need. And quit worrying about who's doing it, right? So these are some of the really big issues. And look, I exercise choice every day, just to be clear. When I talk about freedom and choice, I exercise it every day. One of my kids goes to Little Rock Public School. One of my kids goes to a private school. So I exercise it every day. I want everybody to have that ability, regardless of their income or background. So those are just some quick hits on some of the things that are important. We're going to be talking a lot more about that in the future, and I'd love to come back on.
Well, I'll be glad to have you anytime you want to come on, and appreciate you visiting with us this morning. And I promise I won't call you Your Honor next time.
Call me anything you want.
All right. Thank you, sir.